Blog Talk Radio.
Wherever the fuck you are. I know. I said I was going to be on tomorrow. And I am. I'm still going to be on tomorrow. But we're so close. We are 13 away from 1,500, y'all. That is really phenomenal right now. So I want to do some quick things. I wanted to mention to everyone, if you haven't heard, that $17 billion has been released, that has been sitting for years, waiting to be used to help Puerto Rico. Mr. Biden has released that because it was, for some reason, held back by the racist in chief. Sounds about white. And I wish people would remember this when they feel like saying both parties are the same, but they won't, because the Senate has voted 50-49 in the favor of moving the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package forward using budget reconciliation. No Republicans voted for the resolution. So as yes, it is the two wings of the same bird. Republicans are far worse than Democrats. Now, that's not to say we don't have child molesters in both parties, because we fucking do. I did an episode about that. Listen if you dare. That one's a very angry episode, because I spent most of my time cussing and being fucking pissed off. I just think molesting children is wrong. Which reminds me, I know I have some things, actually, about that. Because y'all like to talk about Muslim religion and this and that, but we have our own children brides. My mother was a child bride, and that's still a fucking thing. Did you know that in a lot of states you can marry a child? It's legal. Look it up. Look it up. I tell you. You know? Why? Why? I just don't get it. That's bullshit. Really fucking bullshit. Sammy, are you having fun with my accounts, bro? Still doing this shit, huh? Still doing this shit. Yay. Constant being attacked. Attacked all the time. And now I have to try and fix this shit. Alright, I'm gonna have to fix my stuff because this fucking piece of shit. I love it. I fucking love it. So, I guess while we wait, because if no one comes, then I'm going to get off here and do something else later. So, we're going to have to do this while I fix this, because we can't do anything. Lucky bitch boy that I can fucking fix all this shit immediately, you fucking piece of shit. Got nothing to do, y'all. You just be doing that dumb shit. Yeah, my patience for electronics, very short. Thank you. Well, hi, y'all. Cannot wait to get my laptop set, because this is the slowest motherfucker I've ever seen. Slowest motherfucker I've ever seen. No Microsoft Teams. Wow, the fucking worst. Not even a thing. Like that. Do y'all ever stop attacking my house? Like, do y'all sleep? Like, ever? Like, this is really bad. Like, what even is going on here? Why is that even on? It's not even up. Intact. Fucking stupid. Fucking give me my mail, you piece of shit. Now I get real mad. Because it's like... Yay! We did it. Yay, we did it. Okay, yay. Now moving on. I'm sorry about that. People have been trying to lock me out of my shit, and it's really annoying, especially when I don't on hand have everything on tap. I had to, like, go grab a computer. It's so fucking annoying because I didn't think I needed one this morning. All right, now thank you for waiting. Now I wanted to get some news out this morning because I felt it was super important. So let's see. Now, you want to feed your baby good food, right? So I've always stood by this. I never really liked giving my daughter the traditional baby food. I always felt that, you know, it wasn't real or we didn't know, you know, where it came from and all that. But yeah, stop. Stop it. Quit. Quit. Both of you are dorks. So the leading baby food manufacturers have been knowingly selling products with high levels of toxic metals, and congressional investigation has uncovered this. Now, four baby food manufacturers, they are selling baby food that contains high levels of toxic heavy metals. Now, this is something that you'll find in your kid's blood, and it can make them autistic or have learning disabilities or even die, come up with early cancers. You know, this is probably how kids get cancer early on in life. Now, dangerous levels of toxic metals like arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury exist in baby foods at levels that exceed what experts and governing bodies say are permissible. Shouldn't be in it at all. That's not food. Now, this was said by Democratic Rep. Raja Krishnamoorthy of Illinois, chair of the House Committee on Economic and Consumer Policy, which conducted the investigation signed by the Democratic members. Now, Krishnamoorthy said that the spreadsheets provided by manufacturers are shocking because they show evidence that some baby foods contain hundreds of parts per billion of dangerous metals. Yet we know that in a lot of cases, we should not have anything more than single-digit parts per billion of any of these metals in any of our foods. We shouldn't have any of them in our foods. Why do we have any of it? Why is this okay? It's not, and it causes problems. We're not made to consume metal. Now, arsenic, lead, cadmium, and mercury are in the World Health Organization's top 10 chemicals of concerns for infants and children. As natural elements, they are in the soil in which crops are grown and thus can't be avoided. Now, some crop fields and regions, however, contain more toxic levels than others because of, you know, pipelines and shit like that. Partly due to overuse of metal-containing pesticides, that as well, and ongoing industrial pollution. There is a time when we used metals as a predominant pesticide for years, assuming it was safe, said Dr. Leonardo Trinsonde, chief of environmental pediatrics at NYU. Now, all of these metals have been linked to cancer, chronic disease, and neurotoxic effects. But it's the devastating damage that can be done to a developing baby's brain that makes baby food toxicity so critical. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has not yet set minimum levels for heavy metals in most infant food. The agency did set a standard of 100 parts per billion in organic arsenic for bottled water. From the time of conception through the age of two, babies have extremely high sensitivity to neurotoxic chemicals. And this was said by the National Director of Science and Health for Healthy Babies, Bright Futures, a coalition of advocates committing to reducing babies' exposure to neurotoxic chemicals, Jane Houlihan. Now, their brain is forming rapidly, and so when they're exposed to metals, that can interrupt those natural processes. The impacts range from behavior problems to aggression to IQ loss and all kinds of cognitive and behavioral deficits that can persist throughout life, probably why my daughter's the way she is. Now, pound for pound, babies get the highest dose of these heavy metals compared to other parts of pollution. so the consequences are very serious. Healthy Babies Bright Futures published a report in 2019 that found toxic metals in 95% of baby foods randomly pulled off supermarket shelves and tested. We actually did a story on this last year. The expose was the inspiration for the subcommittee's work, Krishnamoorthy told CNN. Now, internal testing done by Gerber, BeachNet, Nutrition Company, Nurture Incorporation, which sells Happy Baby products, and Hain Celestial Group Incorporation, which sells Earth's Best Organic Baby Food, showed levels of heavy metals far above limits set for bottled water by the FDA. Oh, my God, I fed my kids this shit. And the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the congressional investigators found, fuck, I gave my kid this shit. Now, baby food ingredients in certain products contained up to 91 times the inorganic arsenic level, up to 177 times the lead level, up to 69 times the cadmium level, and up to 5 times the mercury level allowed in bottled water. Yet the company still approved those products for sale. Whether the baby food was organic or not did not matter. The subcommittee found levels of toxic metals were still high. CNN reached out to the four companies for reaction prior to the publication of the report, which none of them had yet seen. Gerber told CNN in an email statement in part, all of our foods meet our safety and quality standards, which are among the strictest in not just the U.S., but the world. Gerber foods are backed up by rigorous oversight at all levels of the growing and production process. Now, where government standards don't currently exist, we develop our own rigorous standards by applying the latest food safety guidance. Now, as stated in our 2019 response to the congressional inquiry, the elements in question occur naturally in the soil and water in which crops are grown. To minimize their presence, we take multiple steps, including prioritizing growing locations based on climate and soil composition, approving fields before crops are planted based on soil testing, rotating crops according to best available science, and testing of produce, water, and other ingredients. Now, BeachNet Nutrition said it established heavy metal testing standards 35 years ago, and they are continuously reviewing and strengthen those standards whenever possible. In addition, the company said it tested every delivery of fruits, vegetables, rice, and other ingredients up to 255 contaminants to confirm that every shipment meets our strict quality standards. If the ingredients don't meet our standards, we reject them. Happy Baby, which is part of Happy Family Organic, responded that the company does not sell any products that has not been rigorously tested and do not have products in the market with contaminant ranges outside the limits set by the FDA. Many of the results we provided as part of this 2019 report were collected based on a small portion of our portfolio and are not representative generally of our entire range of products on the shelf today. Also, the data points include two outliers of high lead results, not replicable in our testing, but which we included for completeness and transparency. Hain reached out for the report published and provided the following statement. We are disappointed that the subcommittee report examined outdated data and does not reflect our current practices. Earth's Best has consistently supported efforts to reduce naturally occurring heavy metals from our food supply and stands ready to assist the subcommittee's efforts toward that goal. Then why are they full of toxic metals? Now, failure to recuperate. Three additional baby food companies, according to the congressional investigators, did not fully recuperate with the subcommittee's investigation. Sprout Organic Foods, Walmart, which sells Parents' Choice baby food, don't buy it. Campbell's Soup Company, which sells Plum Organic Foods, don't buy it. The subcommittee is greatly concerned that their lack of recuperation might be obscuring the presence of even higher levels of toxic heavy metals in their baby food products than their competitors' products. CNN reached out via email and phone multiple times to Sprout Organic Foods and Walmart, which sells Parents' Choice, but did not receive comments before the story was published. A Campbell spokesperson did reply, for more than 150 years, Campbell has placed the safety of consumers, especially our youngest consumers, above all else. That is why we fully cooperated with the House Oversight Committee's Baby Food Review, responded quickly to their questions, and never refused anything requested of us. Now, the subcommittee didn't agree with Campbell's assessment. Instead of producing any substantive information, Campbell provided a spreadsheet self-declaring that every one of its products meets criteria. The subcommittee wrote, Campbell's evasion is concerning, as even limited independent testing has revealed the presence of toxic heavy metals in baby food. The subcommittee report also stated that Hain Celestial Group, Incorporated, maker of Earth's Best Organic, had presented a secret slide presentation on August 1st, 2019, to FDA regulators that revealed increased risks of toxic heavy metals in baby foods. The slide showed that the FDA that Hain routinely tested only the ingredients that go into the baby foods for heavy metals and failed to test the finished product that would be sold. Yet, in 100% of Hain baby foods tested, our inorganic arsenic levels were higher in the finished baby food than the company estimated that would be based on individual ingredient testing. Inorganic arsenic was between 28% to 93% higher in finished products. This presentation made clear that the ingredient testing is inadequate and the only final product testing can measure the true danger posed by baby foods. Now, Hain sent CNN the response, the meeting was not secret. We provided the document to the subcommittee to be helpful. The purpose of the meeting was to determine a path forward to expand our testing program to include more raw ingredients and reduce the overall level of metals in our finished product. Following the meeting, we took several steps to reduce the levels of heavy metals in our finished products, including no longer using brown rice in our products that are primarily rice-based, changing other ingredients, and conducting additional testing of finished products before shipping. But there's no new action by the FDA. Now, the FDA under the Trump administration took no new action in response to the presentation the investigations found. To this day, baby foods containing toxic heavy metals bear no label or warning to parents. Manufacturers are free to test only ingredients or, for the vast majority of baby foods, to conduct no testing at all. CNN reached out to the FDA with a set of detailed questions about these issues raised by the report and received the following statement. The FDA said, in part, sampling of infant rice cereal showed that since 2016, manufacturers have made significant progress in reducing arsenic in infant rice cereal products. Fuck, I fed my kid this shit. Demonstrating that his action level is achievable by industry. Going forward, the FDA said good manufacturing processes such as sourcing rice and other ingredients with lower inorganic arsenic levels will continue to help manufacturers produce infant rice cereal with inorganic arsenic levels below the action level. An FDA office official later told CNN the agency is currently reviewing the subcommittee report's findings. Now, revealing internal documents, Happy Baby, one of the four companies who were part of the investigation, only tested the final product, the actual food babies would eat after all ingredients have been added. Internal documents from Nurture show that the company set a threshold of 100 parts per billion of inorganic arsenic in its final baby food product. Listed next to that goal was the actual level of arsenic found in the baby food. Despite the fact that arsenic levels in the product routinely tested over the stated goal, 120 parts per billion, 130 parts per billion, 160 parts per billion, even as much as 180 parts per billion, the documents showed Nurture continued to mark the products as ready to sell. Now, levels of lead, cadmium, and mercury were often high as well. The subcommittee report said documents showed Nurture sold Happy Baby foods that tested as high as 500 parts per billion and 641 parts per billion for lead. Nurture also sold a finished baby food product that contained 10 parts per billion of mercury and two others that contained 9.8 and 7.3 parts per billion, a level of 10 parts per billion. It's five times more than the EPA's 2 parts per billion standard of drinking water. This is why we don't drink out of the sink. Now, Hain's Earth's Best Organic, along with Gerber and Beechnut, did not test its final products. Now, instead, they tested various ingredients that added to the final product, such as cinnamon, blueberry puree, and a mix of vitamins used to boost nutrient levels called a vitamin premix. That tested at 223 parts per billion for inorganic arsenic. No level of lead is safe for children, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, yet Hain used ingredients containing as much as 352 parts per billion in lead, internal documents have shown. When it came to cadmium, Hain used some 102 ingredients that tested over 20 parts per billion cadmium. A few tested much higher, up to 260 parts per billion of cadmium. There are no documents that illustrate the levels of mercury in Hain's Earth's Best Organic Baby Foods, as the company does not test for it. Now, Beechnut Baby Foods made baby food with ingredients that tested as high as 913.4 parts per billion arsenic. The investigation found, including an additive for crumb softness, that contained up to 710.90 parts per billion of arsenic. Arsenic can kill you. Each nut also used many ingredients of high lead content, including 483 that contained over 5 parts per billion of lead. Now, cadmium levels should not exceed 5 parts per billion in drinking water, according to the FDA. Yet, beech nut had some ingredients that reached levels of 344.55 parts per billion. Lacaine beech nut does not test for mercury. Gerber baby foods only test ingredients, not the final product. The subcommittee said some of the ingredients used in making Gerber baby food, such as conventional sweet potatoes, tested as high as 48 parts per billion in lead. The fuck? Internal documents also shared the baby food giant used high arsenic ingredients, including 67 batches of rice flour that had tested over 90 parts per billion in inorganic arsenic. What? The company rarely tests for mercury, the subcommittee said, but cadmium levels in 75% of Gerber carrots exceeded the recommended 5 parts per billion, with some reaching to 87 parts per billion. Now, legislation may be needed. The subcommittee report was clear on what should be done. Instead of setting limits for one food at a time, the FDA should standardize maximum levels for each toxic metal that can damage a baby's developing brain. How about don't have any in there? There should be a mandatory testing of any baby food product before it hits the shelves. Manufacturers should no longer be allowed to simply test ingredients. Substitutes should be found for any ingredients over the recommended limits, and if that cannot happen, then the food or ingredients should not be used in the baby food. Take rice, for example, which is a primary source of inorganic arsenic exposure for babies. Great. Every maker of baby food is on notice that we in Congress are not going to sit back and accept the status quo anymore. I hope that the companies would voluntarily start to undertake actions such as testing their food more properly and thoroughly and phase out certain ingredients that we know are problematic right now. But I'm also being realistic. We need legislation to compel compliance and standards with the FDA that needs to be developed. Now, you got to be kidding me, y'all. How many of y'all's kids have autism? How many of y'all's kids have been sick? How many of y'all's kids have died out there and from cancers, unknown places? We don't know. So an 11-year-old girl pregnant in Florida had to marry her rapist. Yeah. Sherry Johnson's family tried to protect the members of their church congregation that raped her by forcing her into marriage. Sounds about right. At least one child under the age of 16 gets married in Florida every few days. That's because what many would call underage marriage is still legal in every state in America, typically with the consent of parents or a judge. 27 states have no minimum age whatsoever. One woman who was forced to marry her own rapist at the age of 11 is fighting to change that. Sherry Johnson became pregnant and gave birth when she was just 10 years old, after both a minister and a 20-year-old member at her Florida church raped her. Her family, along with the church leaders, decided that instead of pursuing criminal charges, it would be easier for the elementary school student to just get married. My mom asked me if I wanted to get married. I would fucking, nope, you're dead. You're fucking dead. I'll burn your fucking house down, your motherfucking church, and I'll slit your motherfucking throat. There is no getting married to your rapist. This is white people problems. This is white religion right here. I don't know what marriage is or how to act like a wife, Johnson told New York Times. She said, well, I guess you're just going to get married. The marriage didn't last. 2 and 3 evolving child brides don't, but the psychological harm did. Johnson was taken out of elementary school to take care of her child, and she ended up having 9 children. It was a terrible life, she remembers. You can't get a job, you can't get a car, you can't get a license, you can't sign a lease. So why allow someone to marry when you're still so young? Between 2000 and 2010, about 250,000 minors were likely married in the United States, according to the Anti-Child Marriage Group in Unchained at Last. The states with the highest rates of underage marriages, most of which involved underage females, were Arkansas, Idaho, and Kentucky. Sounds about right. Though the age differences between these couples would often suggest violations of statutory rape laws, marriage can make these sexual relationships legal. When Cassandra Levesque, a Girl Scout in New Hampshire, learned of the laws regarding child marriages, she began advocating for a bill that would raise the state's minimum to the age of 18. We're asking that the legislature to repeal a law that's been on the books for over a century that's been working without difficulty on the basis of the request from a minor during a Girl Scout project. State Representative David Bates said about the girl who was apparently old enough to get married but not old enough to speak to her government about it. The Republican-led House killed Cassandra's bill. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie also recently blocked legislation that would raise his state's minimum age to 18, while New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is currently promoting a new bill that would raise the age to 17. What's wrong with you pedophiles? People defending the right of children to get married often cite religious freedoms and the importance of avoiding out-of-wedlock births. But the reality of underage marriage is often abuse of basic human rights. Advocates of raising the minimum marriage age argue. For almost all of them, Unchained's founder said, this is Freddie Reese, marriage means rape on their wedding night and thereafter. This is like my mother. She was a child bride and she was raped into children. Around the world, a girl under the age of 15 is married every 7 seconds. Looking at statistics like that, our country likes to place itself on a moral pedestal. Yeah, well, you can't because you fuck children. You're racist, you fuck children, you harm animals, you don't care about the environment. What else? You're uneducated, you're stupid, you're fat, you're dumb, you're losers. And you praise, for some reason, celebrities because you're just that fucking dumb. Religion is the biggest problem in the world. This is why my kid doesn't go to church. This is why I do not practice Christianity, because Christianity is what killed Jesus. So, our own State Department decrying child marriage as a human rights abuse that contributes to economic hardship. It produces devastating repercussions of a girl's life, effectively ending her motherfucking childhood. Which begs the question, why is it legal here? Because America is full of pedophiles. White, Christian pedophiles. Child rapists. Who want to blame black people for all their fucking world problems? Sounds about white. So our news magazine issue here, we got White Supremacy in Education. Our spring 2021 issue is here. Now, this issue introduces our new name, Learning of Justice, and dives deep into the ways that white supremacy manifests in U.S. schools, including in teacher preparation programs and distance learning. You'll also learn the stories of educators and students who push back against white supremacy on their campuses and their communities. Now, this is called Teaching Tolerance. This is issue 66, and this is coming out in the spring of 2021. We know that white supremacy is woven into the fabric of American culture and society. It's also woven into the education system. In the spring 2021 issues of Teaching Tolerance magazine, we will trace some of the threads of white supremacy. Now, Gertrude Trude Lamb, who's 16, describes herself as a shy person. She never wanted to be the center of attention. But in the summer of 2020, when Trude became the face of a movement to rename Robert E. Lee High School in Tyler, Texas, I used to live by there, she was suddenly in the spotlight she'd never imagined. A friend nudged her to join the local campaign and sent a letter to the school board, but she wasn't sure why. Trude, who immigrated from Ghana, in 2014, wasn't familiar with Lee or anything related to the Confederacy, so she began to research. At school, they usually just teach the good part about somebody, she says. They don't teach the bad part because the winners are the ones who write history. So, a star athlete on her school's varsity cross-country team, she penned a letter to the school board members stating she'd no longer wear a jersey that bore the name of an enslaver. The letter went viral after her mother shared it on social media, catching the attention of the school board and national media outlets. She later courageously read the letter to school board members at the June 22nd meeting. Trude read in part, "I love and enjoy the sports I play at Robert E. Lee. I cannot bear and no longer will wear Lee's name on my race jersey. As one of your students, I am respectfully asking you to take up the Robert E. Lee name change issue. Scared and incredibly nervous to speak up, but she did it anyway because it was the right thing to do. Support from friends and family got her through it." I'm also doing it for the others out there, other black people, and it was time to get it done. Go, girl. Black excellence. Trude isn't alone in her activism. During the uprising in 2020, the impact of COVID-19, police violence, and political discord culminated into a perfect storm. Thousands of young people across the country joined others in the streets, at school board meetings and city halls, building on a valued tradition of youth-led activism to demand the dismantling of Confederate iconography in their committees and communities. School boards across the country, primarily in the South, voted to change schools' names, often as a result of pressure from students. Young people have always led the way, from the Adkin High School students in Kinston, North Carolina, who staged a massive march in 1951, to the Children's Crusade in Birmingham, Alabama in 1963. More recently, we've seen the same activism in Black Lives Matter and March for Our Lives organization. Students' activism can lead to cultural and policy change, especially when adults, whether educators, caregivers, or community leaders, elevate their voices and give them space to bravely express themselves. Trude's teammates and community members had her back. Athletes from her school began posting photos of themselves wearing Lee jerseys that were blacked out on an Instagram account called We Won't Wear the Name. Some of her teachers, including one who attended a rally for the name change, encouraged her to keep using her voice. Awesome. However, other community members spoke out against change, as they had been doing for years, and Trude received a number of threats, including one from classmates who said on social media they'd bring a knife to school. Sounds about right. I can remember them saying something about, I'm from Africa, I'm not from the U.S., so I don't really know what I'm saying. They said, I'm just being put up to this, and I have no idea what I'm doing. While unfamiliar with the Lost Cause narrative, Trude was very, very familiar with the history of the dungeons that held enslaved people on the shores of her home country. Seeing a community divided brought these two stories together. She was witnessing in real time the residual effects of the transatlantic slave trade. Persistence and support is key. The history of most U.S. cities have left some of their citizens marginalized or traumatized. In cities where schools are named after Confederate figures, chances are the same names can also be found on other public buildings, street signs, parks, and monuments. In Tyler, Texas, Confederate Avenue runs straight through a predominantly black neighborhood. That is to remind them who's in charge and where they came from. Now, in Fairfax County, Virginia, county officials are still taking inventory of the numerous spaces that pay homage to Confederates. That's where seniors Kimberly Boateng, I hope I said that right, and Khadija Ismali demanded that their school board rename their Robert E. Lee High School, a racially diverse school in Springfield, Virginia. Khadija served on one of the school board advisory committees, while Kimberly served as a student representative on the school board during 2019-2020 school year. Now, these discussions about renaming the school had happened in the past, but they didn't get far. In March 2020, school board members began a five-month process to rename the school. Then the proposal took a backseat to equipping students with tools for online learning. Now, students still saw the name change as a priority. However, in June, Khadija started a petition, which earned 1,000 signatures within 24 hours. This is wonderful. You are beautiful. You're amazing. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You are the change that this world needs to see. And I'm so glad that I am here to see this shit. Now, if anybody knew who Captain Tom Moore was, he raised millions for NHS. And he recently passed. He aged at 100, and he died. He was 100 years old and a World War II vet whose efforts to raise millions for the UK's National Health Service made him a universally adored icon during the first wave of COVID-19 outbreak. He's died in the hospital after he himself contracted the disease. Godspeed, sir. Known affectionately as Captain Tom Moore, raised almost 33 million. Quid, which would come out to 45 million Americans. Now, by walking laps of his garden last year, his exploits united a country frozen in lockdown and made him an unlikely celebrity late in his life, earning him a military promotion, a knighthood from Queen Elizabeth II, and a number one single. He tested positive for the virus and was taken to the hospital on Sunday, suffering breathing problems after being treated for pneumonia. They announced his death on Tuesday. It is with great sadness that they announce the death of their dear father, Captain Sir Tom Moore. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for everything that you've done. Did you guys know that Ella Fitzgerald went to jail for singing in front of an integrated audience? It's really incredible. Now, does anyone know who Ruby Bridges was? At the tender age of 6, Ruby Bridges advanced the cause of civil rights in November 1960 when she became the first African-American student to integrate to elementary school in the South. Born on September 8, 1954, Bridges was the eldest of 5 children for Lucille and Abon Bridges, farmers in Tylertown, Mississippi. When Ruby was 2 years old, her parents moved their family to New Orleans, Louisiana, in search of better work opportunities. Ruby and her mother were escorted by 4 federal marshals to the school every day that year. She walked past crowds screaming vicious slurs at her. Sounds about what? Undeterred, she later saw the only people frightened when she saw a woman holding a black baby doll in a coffin. She spent her first day in the principal's office due to the chaos created as angry white parents pulled their children from school. Many parents withdrew their children permanently. Sounds about what? Ruby ate lunch alone and sometimes played with her teacher at recess, but she never missed a day of school that year. Support this black woman-owned skincare business like Coco Skin LLC because they are putting all of their proceeds to bettering black people's lives. Now, I don't know if you guys heard yesterday, but I'm going to repeat this again because this needs to be said over and over and over and over. They're introducing all kinds of legislature, and this moving through. Now, state lawmakers across the U.S. have filed more than 100 bills since the November election aimed to reforming election procedure and limiting voter access. Because, you know, Republicans have to cheat. And all 28 states have introduced a pre-filed or advancing 106 restrictive bills for 2021 legislative session, a significant spike from just 35 bills in 15 states in 2020, according to the Brennan Center analysis. The majority of bills look to restrict or put limitations on how and who can vote by mail, while others look to impose photo ID laws and take a more aggressive voter purge policy. I check all the time when I get purged. I fucking enroll right back on there. Suck a dick, bitch. Yeah, eat my ass. I'm going to fucking vote, you pieces of white shit. Yeah, sounds about what? So anyway, their sponsors argue that the measures are necessary to restore confidence in an integrity to voting process after it was marred by the baseless allegations of voter fraud pushed by former President Donald Trump and other GOP officials, culminating with the deadly January 6th insurrection. Mail-in voting was dramatically expanded in 2020 because of the pandemic, and there's nothing wrong with it. As election officials and lawmakers look to balance public health precautions with the right to vote, which led a shift in voter turnout because they all made it in. Now, though there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud, Republicans nationally have made election law changes priority this year, not to stop voter fraud, but to stop black people from voting. So, yeah, this country sucks, and I hate it. And it sucks because white nationalists run this country. White people like this make this country suck. Black people do not make this country suck. White people do, because white people are entitled as fuck. And then the rest of you Indians who come here that hate black people just like white people, y'all are part of the problem. My friend's Indian, and he's a very selfish person. I did not know that he had views like he does, or we would have never been friends. He liked Donald Trump. Now, I like Shetty. Shetty's a really cool guy, but I really find him not a humanitarian. You got to have some humanity. You got to have some empathy. You got to have something. You do, because you just can't. Not here. There's just too many. There's too many people. We don't all look the same, and if we did, that'd be fucking boring, and I don't want to look like you motherfuckers. I want to look like me. I like looking like me. I like being me. You know, everyone has the right to be themselves and who they want to be, how they want to be it, as long as it's not hurting anyone else. But y'all white folks out there with your fucking white supremacy bullshit and your white power, that shit's going to end. Because eventually, most of you, y'all are going to be a minority. Everyone's going to be mixed eventually. So, you know, that's the tea, y'all. I've got homework to do today. I gotta turn that shit in. So that is the tea. I love you all. I'll be on tomorrow in the morning for tarot. So don't miss it. Come on up. Come on up. Yes. Come on down. We will be happy to do your tarot. A lot of people haven't been coming on the radio because, and doing tarot because a lot of people actually have been writing me asking for a private reading. So if you don't want to put your reading on the radio, write me ZEN.thatsthet@gmail.com and take PayPal, $20 reading, and however long it takes. So I think I beat most people and their prices and how long that they do it for. So wear your mask, wash your hands, Black Lives Matter, fuck Donald Trump, and please, Mr. Biden, hurry up and get everyone relief so that way people can start getting their lives back. We've lost way too many. We were reaching up to 500,000. You know, there's too many people that have this, and we have variations coming out, so double up if you can. And that's the tea. Bye, guys.